Hey, it's Amy. Thanks for checking out the Bobby Bones Show podcast. While I have you here, I wanted to share an episode with you of my podcast called Four Things with Amy Brown, where each week I talk about four different things, typically family stuff, lifestyle, gratitude, health. I recently had on Kristen Chenoweth. I talked to Kristen about how she grew up in rural Oklahoma and ended up with a career on Broadway. And I got the scoop on her first ever Hallmark movie. We also got a little emotional when we talk about family and adoption. If you enjoy this episode, I'd love for you to subscribe to hear more. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. Here's my episode with Kristen Chenoweth. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK, be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things, little food for your soul. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Okay, so this is exciting. Today's episode is Kristen Chenoweth, which is kind of just crazy and enough said in itself. Like, she's just crazy talented. She has new music out because she sings. I mean, obviously, she was on Broadway. If you don't know much about her, well, I think you're still going to enjoy it. I know I personally didn't know some of the stuff that she shared, and it was just really special to have her on, and she's just such a light, and I think you'll hear that in her voice as soon as the episode starts. So it was really, really fun to chat with her about music, about a new Hallmark movie that she has coming out, about just growing up in like Oklahoma and how, you know, she made it to Broadway and now has this crazy life. And we talk about gratitude and things that she's thankful for. So with that said, I'm just gonna get you right into the episode so that you can enjoy it. But I will give one quick reminder that since today is Thursday, and if you're listening to this when this podcast comes out every Thursday, Pimp and Joy tie-dye goes on sale tomorrow. And we are so excited about this. And as you know, like, well, maybe if you don't, but if you're excited about a new Pimp and Joy tie-dye item, then maybe you do know how Pimp and Joy has been able to help so many different people, listeners, people that we don't even know, different organizations, like all kinds of various causes. And right when I was sitting down to record this, I got a note from Morgan number two on the Bobby Bones Show. And it was a friend of one of our listeners who happened to be wearing something Pimp and Joy. And she, when something happened to her. So I'm going to read this quick note before we get into the episode. But the DM on the Bobby Bones Show Instagram said, "Hey, I hope this reaches someone and actually gets read. I'm sending this to everyone on the show. My friend Heidi is an avid listener and has been for years. She probably owns all of the apparel you have out. She was recently in a bad car accident. She was hit head on the way to work. She's very lucky to be alive right now. She had a broken arm, shoulder out of place, all kinds of stuff happening on her face, like a fractured spine, like she said, like I said, so lucky to be alive. Anyway, she was wearing her camo Pimp and Joy shirt and it had to be cut off of her. I'm more than willing to order her another shirt as a surprise, but was wondering if when it's sent, that if there could be a card signed by everyone. She raves about the show and she's the one that got me listening every morning too." So, like stuff like that is just so, I've been messaging with Morgan number two, and yes, we're going to get her more than just that camo Pimp and Joy shirt. Like, we're going to send her a little care package and, yeah, get the show to sign a card. And I just love when, like, watching this friend wanting to take care of her friend that was in a car accident and reaching out. And I know that sometimes not everything gets seen or taken care of, and I don't want to paint this picture like we're perfect and we see it all and we want to, but this is the kind of stuff that we love and we love to get to do. So always reach out if there's a way that we can be a blessing to some of your friends, because that's what Pimp and Joy is all about, and started with my mom's cancer journey and has morphed into something crazier. And, you know, I just love that we're able to brighten people's day in some way, shape, or form. So a little care package will be going out, and I'm just glad, yes, that your friend is alive. I don't even know if this person listens to my podcast, because this has to do with the Bobby Bones Show, and the note the text just came in for Morgan number two. So anyway, Pimp and Joy, tie-dye, like the fact that we have the merch to be able to bless people. And then from the merch, we have the money to be able to bless people in different ways. I mean, because of you guys, we've done over 2 million to various organizations and causes and people and built homes for heroes and, you know, helped people with all like tragedies that strike our country, or maybe not even in our country, different things. We've done things in Haiti and other places. So, and it's because of you. So now that that is said and done, just wanted y'all to know. One more thing, since the Pimp and Joy is up, the four things, speaking of Haiti, four things Christmas pullover is going to be customizable tomorrow too. So y'all asked for that. We listened and we're trying to make it happen. So that'll officially go up and you'll have a little bit of time to order it. So that way you can get it, you know, before Thanksgiving, because after Thanksgiving, everyone starts to wear their Christmas stuff. Duh. Okay. I'm done with all the housekeeping things. Here is Kristen Chenoweth.
First thing. That's right.
Okay. So for the first time in Four Things podcast history, we have a live audience. Let's hear from the crowd.
Yay!
Kristen Chenoweth is here and I'm super excited to have you on. I mean, I have, you know, and even on the Bobby Bone Show, we have a bunch of country artists that come in. We've got guests on the podcast and different things. And my friends always know that I work with different people, but they're kind of like, oh, that's cool. And then I mentioned that I'm having you on and suddenly it's like, when is it airing? What? How did you get her? Where?
Really?
What? Yeah. I mean, you're.
That makes me feel so good.
Very iconic, big deal. I'm honored to have you on here for sure. And when you were walking in, I guess, did you walk past some Chick-fil-A or something?
I saw an empty bag. I was like, dang, I wish that was full of chicken. I'd eat it.
Yeah. So, you just kind of said, I love Chick-fil-A more than life itself. That's what I heard you say walking in.
It.
So I was like, oh.
I love Chick-fil-A.
What's your go-to order?
Number one, of course, I've got to have the pickles. That comes with it, but yeah. I also like to add cheese. I love the waffle fries dipped in the Chick-fil-A sauce.
Oh, for sure.
And the lemonade.
Yes. That sounds pretty good, except
I haven't even had to think about it.
I'm a no pickle.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no pickle for
me. That's okay. I'm not judging.
Really, I was in pep squad in sixth grade.
Okay.
And I threw up a pickle. You know, at the football games, they had those pickles, and I don't know, I cheered too
it
much or something.
With you.
And then on the drive home, I told my mom, you got to pull over. I threw up the pickle, and now it's ruined me because I feel like I'm the one at Chick-fil-A that's like, no pickle.
I get it. I have the same situation with trout.
But trout?
Yes.
You threw that up after pep squad?
My dad took me fishing in our pond. I caught a trout. He's like, now you're going to learn how to do it. I was like, argh. And he said, I'm just going to eat mine with the fins and head and the head on it, you know. And I said, if you eat that, if you cut into that, I must have been eight, I will barf. He did and I did. And I just ever since, like taste, smell, texture, can't do it.
So did you grow up, like with your dad, did he take you out to do lots of that stuff? I don't know. Did you grow up fishing and hunting?
Well, yeah, because I grew up in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and my grandparents, my granddad was a farmer, and all my aunts and uncles on that side of the family are. So in the summers, guess what I did? We did this thing. They don't have to do it now. They have machinery that does it, but we called it moving pipe. So I would help move pipe for irrigation.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember, I don't know why I'm talking about this.
Well, I asked. Okay. What was your upbringing like?
Well, I had these Holly Hobby socks. And for those of you who are in my age range, you remember the dolls that were Holly Hobby. And I had socks that I was very proud of them. And my uncle Wayne's like, you need to get out there and help move pipe. I was like, but I've got my Holly Hobby socks on. He goes, get out there and move the pipe. And I remember I ruined my Holly Hobby socks. And so moving pipe has really never been the same for me. So I got moved to milking cows. Mm. Lots of people think in New York and LA that you just go squirt, 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 and it comes out. They don't understand how much work it takes to get the one tiniest little drip of milk out of a cow's teat. Now, you probably didn't know that this is where this interview was going to go today, and
no,
neither
but
did I.
I have never really milked a cow, so I would like to know.
Now you know.
I grew up in Texas, but Austin, so I was in the city.
Oh, I love Austin.
But my dad grew up with cows and chickens, and so he's going to listen to this. So he'll reminisce. Take us down memory lane.
Please, please, if you know that you're going to be milking cows, get the bucket and sit on it like you see, because you're going to be sitting there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
shoveling manure, not my favorite. My Uncle Wayne used to say, stick your foot in there and see if it's old or new. Well, when you have new Nikes, you don't want to stick your foot in there.
No.
I'm ruined so many of my city girl clothes out on the farm.
Yeah.
But I had some of the best times ever. I learned how to catch a firefly.
Oh, yes.
I was never big on hunting. It's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. But I did learn how to shoot a BB gun, and maybe there was a propane tank on his land, and maybe we lined up Coke cans on a propane tank. Think about that for a second and the dangerousness of it. And my brother's like, yeah, just aim for that. And my Uncle Wayne walked out and was like, are you really going to try to shoot Coca-Cola cans off of a propane tank?
Yeah.
Get away from there. But, you know, these are memories that I have as a child.
Yeah. So was it somewhere between laying pipe and, wait, is that what you said?
Moving pipe.
Moving pipe.
But laying pipe is something different that happens in the morning or at night after you drink coffee. And by the way, Amy, I could talk about this subject all day. I love you more than I ever could love anyone in this moment.
Okay, so.
Laying pipe and moving pipe, ladies and gentlemen, are two very, very different things.
Very.
I prefer moving pipe.
Okay. So was it somewhere between moving pipe and milking cows that you decided, I'm going to do Broadway. I'm made for more. Like, I don't need to be out here doing this. I want to perform. So what was the origin of you and, you know, the career path that you're on? Because my daughter is 12. And then, too, I know you're also adopted and my kids are adopted.
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah, and we have that little bond. And, you know, how did your parents nurture your gift and your talents and let you spread your wings to go find what you wanted to do? Now, she arrived in America at 10 from Haiti, and then now she's 12. And for her 12th birthday, I took her to New York and took her to her first Broadway show.
What'd you see?
Wicked.
What?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes.
Did she love it?
She was obsessed. She loved it. So now she wants to sing and act and be a doctor. All of the things.
I say she can. In this day and age, there are no more rules. Girl,
right.
You go for it.
And so, yeah. But it's like I don't know where to start. I mean, obviously, she's just feeling out what she wants to do. But so what did that path look like for you? Because she's definitely going to listen back to this. If I tell her I had the original
Glinda
yes. Goodwitch, then...
Well, you tell her, and this is advice to you both, because I had great parents who helped guide me a lot, and they're engineers. My dad is a chemical engineer. My mom is a homemaker, and they don't sing, and they shouldn't ever sing,
right.
Ever.
That's me.
Right. So I didn't have that kind of brain, but... They saw in me, I started singing in church, gospel, and country. That's how it started for me. And they knew that I had something special, but they weren't pushy. They're not stage moms and dads. You know, they just weren't that.
Right.
They wanted me to develop things on my own and find it. So they didn't know what to do with me. And I grew up in a tiny town in Oklahoma called Broken Arrow. And next door is Tulsa. And that's where I took piano lessons at Tulsa University. And they took me to my piano teacher and she heard me sing because I had a pretty high range, coloratura range when I was young. It was almost like, where'd that voice come from, right? So they took me to the vocal department and I sang for them and they said, okay, first of all, when you decide to come to college, you're coming here, but we want to start teaching you. You're a prodigy. That's what they said.
Oh, wow.
And my parents were like, it's up to you, Kristen. What do you want to do? And I thought about it, and I was like, really wanting to go to church camp. I really wanted to be in the school plays. I really wanted to do church choir. I wanted to be a cheerleader. I wanted to have a normal kid life, too. So I went that route and I sort of just developed on my own. I took piano. I listened to my teachers. I did choir. And then I got my degree in music when I went to OCU. So you see what I mean? My path wasn't, I'm a child star. It wasn't
right. That.
It
okay.
was... I was a normal kid who in my town, I was like the kid that could sing, you know, and dance. But I say let them develop on their own because there's plenty of time to be professional. And if she wants to do it, she might come tomorrow and say, I think I want to take piano lessons. Encourage
That's
it.
What she's currently in piano right now.
Good.
She's in piano and gymnastics.
Perfect. I say let her be a kid and do these things and continue to find what her passion is.
Yeah.
That's the best advice I can give to a kid. and to a parent.
I love that. Well, thank you. And, you know, speaking of music, one of the reasons that you're here is, and I got handed this when I walked in, but I will tell you, on my drive to the station, I was listening to you and Dolly sing I Will Always Love You. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you do have, is that higher, like, you know, it's you right when you come on, mm-hmm. like you have that sound. Special sound in that voice. And what is it? So is Dolly like y'all friends?
Well, I mean, I met her like 25 years ago.
Y'all remind me a lot of each other. Now, she's coming before, and I'm just sorry I'm interrupting now because I just want to say y'all both have that sweet spirit about you that's just like, could they ever harm a fly? Like, ever?
So, that's the biggest compliment you can give mm-hmm. me, by the way. I've searched the world over. I can't find a soul that doesn't love her. But I grew up watching her and feeling like her. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. recognizing that music and spirit was compared to her a lot when I was younger singing. And I thought I would never ever get a chance to meet her. So when I did all those years ago, she said, and I was, you know, a lot younger then, and she goes, "You're me, and I'm you." I said, "I know what you mean."
You just sounded like her.
I said, "I know what you mean." And then over the years, seeing each other at different things, but also just having, she knows I love her. And when I reached out and said, "Would you possibly do this?" I thought we would do something like, "Here You Come Again," that song that she used
to do. I love it, yeah.
Right? And she goes, "Well, if I'm going to sing with you, I'm going to do a song I wrote." And I thought, no way is she going to get, we're not going to do I Will Always, that can't, I'll have a heart attack right here. And she said, "Let's do I Will Always Love You." And I thought, okay, how do you record that with Dolly? Without, because I can sound just like her. Like, I know her. I can do that. But I wanted to pay tribute to her, but I wanted to do my own version. And I laid my track down and sent it to her. And she goes, "Oh, my gosh, I like that one lick you do. Like this, I never heard it like that." And I thought, oh, my gosh, she approves. You know, and it made me feel so happy that she was inspired by that.
Yeah.
And then she did outsang herself, of course, on it. And I just still can't believe she said yes.
Yeah. Well, that's special. So Dolly's on it. And the album is called For the Girls. And you've got Reba on it as well. And
my queen.
Yeah. Ariana Grande. Jennifer Hudson. Uh-huh. I mean, oh, Desperado. Like Desperado.
Yes.
I can't sing.
Amy, keep that song on the inside, girl. I'm just kidding you. Sing out, Louise.
Anyway, that's a jam. That's good.
You know what I did? Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something that a man wrote that I knew from a woman singing it. So I fully orchestrated more in my style with a full orchestra.
Oh, I love that. Because I know two artists that originally sing it, men. Who is it?
Well, it's Glenn Frey. It's the Eagles.
Eagles.
Don Henley.
Don Henley. But then there's somebody else that did it. Was it Garth? Or
it might have been Clint Black.
Clint Black. Clint Black.
It was Clint Black.
Because in high school, I was on drill team. I should not have been.
I was too, girl.
I don't know how. I was always in the back row and like nobody told me, like, just stop. It's time. But we did a kick routine to Desperado. Slow.
What?
But it was beautiful.
How did you do a kick routine to
Desperado? Very slow.
Fan kicks, a lot of fan kicks.
I still remember some of my kick stuff.
Me too.
I could show you, but
oh, yeah, I want to
see. This is on podcast.
I love it so much.
And, you know, Desperado, that's what I think. And I think maybe we did the Clint Black version or whoever it was. But anyway, yeah. So now we've got the girl.
I've got the girl.
Version.
And
so,
I always thought, man, I relate to that song. Mm-hmm. Women can feel lonely and alone and kind of MIA. We can have all the same feelings men can.
Yeah.
Why can't I sing it?
So true. And so, like, when it comes to asking someone, like, I don't know, Ariana Grande, how do you, I mean, I know how you asked Dolly, but she seems pretty, like, a get. She seems pretty busy and hip and awesome.
She's pretty busy.
But, I mean, how could she say no to you?
Well, I've known her since she was about 8.
What?
She came backstage to see Wicked with her grandma.
Oh.
And her grandma said, "My daughter loves you, and she wants to be a singer." And I thought, oh, that's sweet.
Isn't that cute?
Like, yeah,
good
so
luck.
Sweet. Pat, pat, pat. I gave her a wand. You know, I said, "Keep this wand and always have it." And then she kind of sang a little something. And I thought, ooh, how old are you? So I knew she was good.
Uh-huh.
I knew she was special. And we stayed close. And then we did Hairspray Live for NBC a couple years back. And I thought, I think if I, on my next record, I'm going to ask her to do something with me. And I knew Leslie Gore, You Don't Own Me, was kind of, I wanted to tip my hat to her. And I thought that Ariana Grande would be great for that track. And it's old school, new school. It's fully orchestrated, Amy, but I've got electric guitar and I've got Ariana Grande and me paying homage to Leslie.
Love it. So if people want to check this out, it's Kristen Chenoweth for The Girls. And you're looking smoking hot on the cover.
Thank you.
And your
necklaces. My dad was like, you forgot your pants.
And so what do you say? No, Dad.
I said, no, Dad, I'm just trying to do this trip down. And he goes, well, thanks a lot. Now I can't go to church. I'm embarrassed. I'm like, no, it's all right. It's just me in a white T-shirt. No Spanx. No, not a lot of makeup. Just me.
Yes. And then you've got necklaces that are very representative of, like, girls.
Yeah.
You got warrior and badass.
Yeah, I have it on there.
Can I say that? I started to say bad A, but then I was like, I'm a grown-up. Like,
you're allowed.
I'm allowed.
You know, it's funny because I always pause when I say that word, but I think women are having a renaissance.
Oh, are you wearing them right now?
I am.
Oh, they're so pretty.
And I'm wearing my Oklahoma Sooners necklace, so don't get mad at me, but I am an Okie, so I've got to represent.
Yes.
But I do want people to, you know, women are having our moment, and I didn't set out to make a women power record. It just kind of evolved.
Right.
But it's okay that we're warriors. We're warrior princesses.
That's right. And so you're doing something cool on Broadway.
Yeah.
It's going to be a For the Girls performance, like November 8th through the 17th or something.
Yeah.
So, oh, man, I might have to grab Stashira and come to that.
I think you need, it's only 2-hour flight, baby.
It's so easy.
Come on, bring your daughter.
She loved New York.
Oh, bring her.
Whenever we go, we were driving down Times Square.
Yeah.
And it was loud and kind of stinky and
the
trash.
Urine. It's the urine smell.
And, you know, and she... We were just riding along, and she rolled down the window and taking it all in, and she looked at me, and she goes, this is kind of like Haiti.
Well, because it's all these people in one tiny island, and it's so diverse, which I love.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, you get a waft of urine.
Right.
You get a waft of BO. You get a waft of Taco Bell. It's what it is.
Some of that was just really resonated with her.
I'm sure it did.
And I was like, what? I had never thought of that. That's an observation. But she loved all the other things. We went to Central Park and did everything. So I thought, you know, I've got to make this our little girls' trip every once in a while.
I'm going to have some very special guests show up on different nights.
Okay.
But if y'all want to come, bring her backstage so I can meet her.
Oh, well, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so something else I want to get into that is equally as cool as your album and Broadway, at least to me, is that you have a Hallmark Christmas movie coming up. Like, who doesn't? I'm already on the countdown to Christmas.
You are?
Yeah.
Yes, me too. I
so
was hoping.
I'm ready for it. I think my husband's like, oh, great.
Here we
He's
go.
He's bracing himself for, like, the TV constantly being on the Hallmark channel. Second thing. My friend Mary, that I make the Four Things totes with, she created this shirt that she sells and it benefits like the military that says, this is my Hallmark Christmas movie watching sweatshirt.
What?
And yeah, people from Hallmark, like Candace Bure has one
Candace?
And she wears it like,
I want one.
And then, we'll send you one.
I want
yeah,
one.
I'll tell Mary, she'll get it to
yes.
you for sure. And so it's kind of fun when people, we just know people get so excited about, like, what happened? I don't remember it always being that way, but something like
evolved
the last few years where it's just been like, oh, like in October, we
it
just
starts.
Like start and we're like ready and we get excited. And then it's like, it ends, it's like now on my bucket list. Like, well, how could I be like the coffee girl in a Hallmark Christmas movie, like a barista? I could just like try to do
I'm
something.
I'm sure that
like,
could be arranged.
Well, I mean, if you ever need, I mean, I can't be like a double or sing for you or anything, but I could do whatever. And you're starring alongside Scott Wolf, which
yes.
is amazing.
Yes.
And it's called The Christmas Song.
Yes.
And I mean, do you have anything you can tell us about
that? I want to tell you one thing.
Tell me.
First of all, Scott Wolf's eyes are as blue as you think.
Okay.
And so I daily jumped in his eyes and went swimming. And I told him. But he's such an awesome person and fun to work with. The story is, the subject matter, I wish I could talk about it, but I can't give it away, is very close to my and yours hearts.
Okay.
It's a subject that Hallmark has not tackled before. And it was my producer, Jennifer Aspen, and I's sort of creative idea, that we brought to them, and they said, yeah. Then I play a choir teacher who gave up being a Broadway star to go teach, okay? There's a kid that comes across town that you find out what their relationship is, okay? But what the coolest thing for me is, I've never gotten to do this, is I wrote a song. I do write songs. I wrote a song for the movie that's the title song. It's called When Angels Land, and I wrote it with one of my best friends, Shelley Wright. And that's a first for me. So not only is the subject matter very special, a song that I was a part of writing is in the film, and I'm proud of this movie. It delves into, it is a love story, of course, but there's two different kinds of love stories going on at this, in this juncture. It became their Hall of Fame choice this year.
Oh.
And I'm really proud of that because I didn't set out to do that. It just,
yeah.
I can't wait for you to see it.
Well, that's got to feel special. And now I'm even more, like, I kind of got, okay, you sold. I mean, I was already going to watch it anyways, but now kind of, you said there's a connection or an aspect that I'm going to really
like
connect
it.
With.
You
so
are.
Definitely excited about that. When it comes to all this success that you have, where's your heart in, I know you think of others, you want to give back, but like, where's your heart? And then how do you find how you're going to do that? Because you are so busy. And it's a lot of times you can like be full steam ahead on all these different projects, mm-hmm. but then it's like, okay, I know that I've been blessed with so much, how am I going to
spread it
back? And so where's your heart on that?
Here's what happened. This is what happened. And I'm a God person, so I believe it was a divine thing. About 10 years ago, my tiny town of Broken Arrow, we had like Sonic and Friday Night Lights. Like that's what I grew up with. That's what we had. We didn't have a lot to do. We dragged Maine. That's what we did.
Yeah.
There was no performing arts center. I couldn't go see a show. So somebody died and left us a lot of money. So thank you, person, whoever that was that anonymously left us money. We built a state-of-the-art performing arts center, and they told me that they were going to name the theater the Kristen Chenoweth Theater. So when you see your name on the side of a building, I said, oh, I'm not old enough to have anything named after me. And they said, yeah, you are. You are, actually. I was like, oh, crap. But I saw my name, my dad's name, my grandpa's name on the side of that building. I thought, what are you going to do with that? Are you just going to come and play here once a year, you know, and just perform? Or what are you going to do with it? So 5 years ago, we just had our fifth year, I developed what I call the Kristen Chenoweth Broadway Boot Camp. And every year in February, we have auditions. And last year, we had over 1,000 kids audition. I can only pick 50. Mm. And I bring in Tony Award Week. On the night of the Tony Awards, on a Sunday night, we all come to the theater, we watch it, we have a pizza party, we bond. And then the next day starts Broadway Boot Camp. It's not Participation Award Camp. It's singing, acting, and dancing intensive study for a week, and at the end of the week, we put on a show. And I bring in all my famous, much more talented Broadway friends than me to teach. And it is going to be, it is my legacy. It is growing faster than I can count. And I'm developing it more so into, I'm building another building next door that will be called the Creative Arts Center, which will, I'm most proud of this because it will be for my home state of Oklahoma. Kids that might not have the opportunity to be able to afford singing, acting, and dancing, graphic design, art,
oh, wow.
writing, directing. I'm opening that. I'll probably break ground in that in the next 2 years. And then it'll be a school, and then they will also get dinner. So we'll feed them too.
Wow, I love that.
So I'm really proud of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I'm having a lot of help with that. It's the thing that, I mean, I love that when people say, oh, I know you from this, or I know you from that, or I didn't know you were a singer. And I'm like, what? They know me from a movie or
right.
a TV show or something. But this.
If they know you from this.
This is what I want when I pass away, when mm-hmm. I move on to heaven. This is what I want people to know me for.
Your legacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this year, we've had 3 of our kids graduate from it and are there in college and music school.
Oh, I love that so much. You are just so special. And I'm inspired
Thank you.
By you. And Thank you. How am I too old to sign up for Broadway Boot Camp?
I would actually let you come and be an observer.
Okay.
Actually, I would love for you to talk about your job because I think the show business now, there are no more rules and the lanes are widening, which mm-hmm. makes me happy because I'm a wide lane artist.
Yeah.
I don't just do one thing. And my voice does more than one thing. And it's always sometimes looked at as a curse. Like, where does she lie? And I want these younger kids to know, like, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You can sing a country song. You can also sing Puccini if you'd like. But work hard and train hard so that you can do it and have a long career if that's what you choose. But I would love, love to have your – so you can audition at 13 okay. to 18.
Okay.
And we get them ready. We get them ready.
All right. Well, I guess I've aged out, but Stashira, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, let's get your daughter in there. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, well, see how she continues on with piano.
Right.
She has a little keyboard in her room.
Okay.
And she practices and, you know, but she's still also learning English at the same time. So there's a
Imagine.
Lot that we're tackling. It's not just the extracurricular fun stuff. It's the, we got to tackle
Language
some goals. Of the hard things.
Of
and just
course.
Stuff where most 12-year-olds are right now. She's not there yet. So.
She's going to get there fast because when you're young, you learn quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited for her to see kind of where she's going to go. She had me download an app on her tablet. She has a little Fire tablet. And she's, uh-huh. I said, what is this new app? She goes, it's a karaoke app so I can practice my singing.
I love her already.
And she is I'm a part of some thing that's happening here in Nashville tonight, and I told her I wasn't going to be home tonight because uh-huh. I have an event, and it's this magazine, I'm being in, da-da. And she said, oh, well, I know, it's not that she thought I should be a part of this list and what was going on tonight. She goes, I know who should be on that list. And I said, who? And she said, Ariana Grande. And then she turned and she goes, and then me, of course.
Oh, I'm already.
And I was like,
I'm in love.
Well, okay, but not mom. She's like, sorry, mom. I'm like, hey, it's fine.
You even got cut from
got
your
cut.
Own daughter, from
I,
your own girl.
I got cut from something I've already, it's already signed, sealed, delivered. Like, I can't, but.
I have a feeling with this girl, mm-hmm. she's going to run the world. So
yeah.
I want to meet her.
Yeah, she's amazing. So gratitude is something that we focus on a lot on this podcast because that's what brings true joy.
Amen.
And, you know, just recognizing what you're thankful for, whether it's something big or something totally small, because I think we should be recognize little things. Because on those hard days where it's just life is just not and we're broken and it's heavy, sometimes it's the little things that
make
that's
us happy.
All that can kind of
creep
in there.
A smile from a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Four things.
So I would like to hear from you four things that you're grateful for in life right now.
Oh, well, it's kind of, I have to say, I am looking at this bag that y'all did for me. So on my bag, it says Thunder. That's my dog, named after the NBA team. So Tennesseans, don't get mad at me. New York, because that's where I first sort of made my mark. And then Broadway, I love because, again, it's a big part of my DNA and my history. And I'm from Oklahoma, so that's my home. But I want to tell you something that really makes me happy that's happening in my life currently. I think I'm grateful right now mostly. There's a lot of healing going on in my family. You know, families are families. We are. That's why it's, you know, it's dysfunctional and functional.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter where you're from, or who, you know, but it's your family. And there's so much healing going on. And it's slow. But it's happening. And there's a broken relationship I had in the past that is healing. And I feel like God is, like, giving me these, like, things where things are healing. It's nothing bad, like not irrevocably broken or anything, just healing is happening. And I think it's important for us to be grateful for when that happens because we can spend so much time complaining about why is this bad and why are me and that person not getting along or why is there tension here? But when there's healing, we sometimes breathe a sigh of relief, but we don't go, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm grateful for right now. And that's what I want to say.
I love that. Yeah, I'm sure that's something that somebody else needs to hear right now, too.
Yeah.
because, or maybe to keep in their back pocket for later.
It's coming. Mm-hmm. If it's not happening for you yet, it's coming.
Yeah. What age, how old were you when you were adopted?
I was 2 weeks old, but I will say that I was actually supposed to go to another family, but they found out they were pregnant like days before I was born. So here's this baby girl, and where's she going to go? And my mom, Junie Chenoweth, who raised me, also was having surgery. I'm going to cry. Was having to have a hysterectomy at 24. And she, the doctor who was my birth mom's doctor and my mom who had raised me, he remembered that Junie Chenoweth had said, I'm not going to be able to have another baby, and I wanted to try. And what happened is the way I was born in the same hospital that she had her surgery, and we went home together.
Mm. Okay.
So yeah. I would like to say thank you to my birth mother who gave me life. Mm-hmm. I would like to say thank you to God for the couple that was able to get pregnant when they didn't think they could, so that I could be in Junie and Jerry Chenoweth's home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you're precious. Yeah. And the fact that you recognize that, have you had the thankfulness for your birth mom and your mom that raised you? I consider myself to be my kid's second mom.
Yeah,
because they have their first mom, right, or I call it their Haiti mom, and we pray for their Haiti moms. Well, they've got, my son and daughter have different Haiti moms.
Okay.
And dads. We don't know the dads, but we know who the moms are. And we pray for them. And I, one day when I take them back, when they're ready.
Yes.
I want them to meet their moms.
Of course.
And so for their moms to know that they're okay and that.
But look at the opportunities and the chances that, I'm so emotional today, that you've given them, and that you're also willing to be a mom who's raising them to pray for their mom. They're the woman that brought them into this world. God has he has his way. You know, we think we got it all down, but actually it's all supposed to work out the way it's worked out. And all I'm going to say is God bless you, and God bless Junie Chenoweth. God bless Mama Lynn, who gave me life.
Mm-hmm.
And I now know a little bit more about my history. I don't talk about it very much, but I know where the petiteness comes from. I know where the music comes from. And it is like a big puzzle that kind of fit, but I never felt lacking for love in my life. Mm-hmm. Never. I always knew that my mother who gave me up loved me, and I know that because my mother who raised me told me every day.
Oh, I love that, and that's affirmation for me to do the same.
Yes.
So that they never
forget,
and they never, because I know there's always going to be that something inside of them that just feels
different.
And I don't want to call it a void, because it can be filled with the love and not, I mean, the right kind of love.
Right.
But I know that there's abandonment. And
it comes with it.
Yeah. It's just part of it.
It is, and no matter if you're 12 or a baby.
Mm-hmm.
When we're brought into the world, it's like someone had, for whatever reason, had to relinquish you. But boy, I really want to speak this to any child who's been adopted. It is a gift because someone chose you.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Well,
thanks a lot, Amy.
Sorry.
It's like tears for me now. Come on, girl.
Well, you still look beautiful.
Thank you.
And we'll just end there now, that probably anybody listening is, a lot of times people listen on their way to work or putting on their makeup. Sorry.
Don't put on your mascara.
We have our live studio audience. Did I ever address how many people our live studio audience was in the beginning? It's two. We have two people.
We have the best two people on the planet watching us.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kristen.
Best ovation I ever got.
Okay, so that is a wrap with the Kristen Chenoweth interview. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Didn't I tell y'all she's just like the sweetest? Seriously, she is. She is so kind and so cute and so talented. And I love that I got to have her on. I mean, she's kind of outside the box for us. So we're going to start getting some different people that maybe you wouldn't expect. So thank you, Kristen, for coming on. And now it's time for the email shout out. This one is from Moore. M-O-O-R-E, Moore. Hi, Amy. My name is Moore. I'm a 27-year-old girl from Israel. Ever since the Shop Forward launched the Four Things laptop decal, I really wanted to have one for myself. I love everything that you do when it comes to spreading joy and helping others. The thing is, when I went to buy it, turned out you don't ship to my country. Since I really loved the idea, I made my own Four Things decal for my Mac, and the money that I would have spent on it, I donated to a charity in my country. I'm writing this to you because I wanted you to know, even though I'm pretty sure you already know, that you inspire us to do good, be better, and spread joy. Thank you for all that you do. And then she even put in parentheses, sorry if my English isn't perfect. It's not my first language. So I just thought that this was so sweet, and I had no idea I had somebody listening in Israel. I mean, that's cool. And I know the Shop Forward, I'll have to talk to Mary about shipping there, but it's more difficult than you would think. It's not that easy to just like ship certain places, but I know that she can do Canada and certain places in Europe, like, well, the UK, at least maybe Australia. I don't know. I don't want to speak out here. I wish Mary was here to answer this question, but I will definitely share this with Mary, and maybe more. We'll see if there's a way we can get you something in Israel. I don't know. Just like something special, but I have no idea. I don't want anybody else listening in Israel to think that now we're going to start shipping there. Just kidding. That was a joke, because I'm sure there's probably nobody else listening. More, you might be my only listener there. But I am proud to have you, and I think it's super cool. And I just love that even though you couldn't get it, you were able to make your own, and you decided to donate the money to a cause near you. That is what it's all about. I love it. So thank you for sharing, and y'all can send your emails to fourthingswithamybrown@gmail.com. Peace. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK, be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things, little food for your soul, things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things. With Amy Brown.